The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
Good morning all, Ryan Tuberty with you this Thursday morning. It is the 24th of September 2020 at 3 minutes past nine. We are very happy to be with you on this damp and dark Thursday morning in Dublin, Ireland. And we're here till 10. And hopefully you will be too. And the text number is open for business. We look forward to hearing from you on 51551. If you want to email us, no problem. Ryan at RTE.ie. Let's hear from you. Wasn't the rain beautiful last night? I mean, sometimes, odd as it may sound, I kind of prefer the rain to the sun. But when it falls beautifully outside, it is... No, it is a nice... It is a nice... It's nice. I like it. It's a nice thing. Meghan Markle. Yes. And Harry. So they... Where are they now? Canada? Somewhere else. But they kind of booted themselves out of the UK and headed off. And now they've kind of got involved in a video to say, don't vote for Donald Trump, essentially. Well, it's well, she's kind of saying, get out and vote. But the feeling would be, the nuance would be that they've become a little bit politicised. And if Donald Trump hates anything in the world, he hates people who don't say nice things about him. So if Meghan Markle was even by implication suggesting that she doesn't really like the President of the United States, who, according to the news just now, may or may not choose to leave the White House after the election. God help us all. Happy dystopia day. He was asked at the press conference last night, hey, did you hear Mr. President, did you hear about Meghan Markle saying she wants people to vote? And here's what he had to say.
I'm not a fan of hers. And I would say this, and she probably has heard that, but I wish a lot of luck to Harry. She's going to need it.
So we'll leave that there. And that's a very Trumpian response to a very dignified and beautiful person, Meghan Markle. But nevertheless, that continues. Do you know who I'm interested in talking to tomorrow night on The Late Late Show? Is Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's joining us from New York City to talk about what the hell is going on over there. He has the most difficult job, particularly in the United States. In the United States this week, they hit over 200,000 people dead. What did they say on CNN last night? They said that this is the fourth largest wholesale death rate in the country. The Civil War, the flu, the flu, World War One flu, and World War Two. So this is number four. It's enormous. And when Trump was asked about this, he said two things. One, he's handled it brilliantly. And two, the numbers could have been 1 or 2 million. And are we all right just to have 200,000? He undermines Anthony Fauci at every turn, has pretty much taken him off the TV so that he doesn't outshine him, because actually Fauci is trusted and liked. And that's why Fauci is in some ways available to talk to us tomorrow night, because Trump doesn't want him anywhere near American TV. So I'll talk to him. And I think he'll be intrigued. Imagine trying to protect the health of an enormous nation like that while being undermined by your own president. I mean, it is impossible. But Fauci, Dr. Fauci, has handled himself with such dignity and skill and professionalism and courtesy. It is extraordinary how he keeps going. It is amazing. I look forward to his company no end tomorrow. Another great person of enormous dignity joining us tomorrow is former President of Ireland, Mary McAleese, which will be intriguing, because she has written the book which is, it brings us behind the curtain to a lot of what she has done as president and as a mother and as a politician in some ways, but also a lawyer and just a very important figure in our country's present and past. So they are among the guests tomorrow. One of my personal favourites also joining us for the crack is Kelly Harrington, which I'm very happy about. There will be a boxing ring harmed in the making of the show tomorrow. I'll tell you about some of the other guests tomorrow. But I just thought I'd mention that as I was playing that clip of Donald Trump. Can you believe that Patrick and Morgan Oliver, who featured on our first Late Late Show of the season because they rescued the paddleboarders, are in the news today, RTE.ie, telling us that they came to the aid of two stranded, well, we know that, they came to the assistance of a man who was spotted in the River Corrib yesterday morning. They were at it again. Heroes. Superheroes. using the word super in the correct form and not some modern affectation that people keep using that drives me around the twist. I'm super excited. No, you're very excited. We'll keep going. The alarm was raised by pedestrians at around 9 a.m. The Coast Guard Service, local RNLI's volunteers and Galway Fire Brigade were all alerted. But the man was taken from the water by the Olivers. Here you go again at Nemo's Pier, close to the Spanish Arch. Taken by ambulance to University Hospital, Galway. And he's just amazing. The two of them, the two boys, Patrick and Morgan Oliver, and they came into the show unfazed by any of it. You know, just, yeah, where do we sit? Where do we talk? When can we go? Brilliant. Lovely people and... there they go again. That's great. There's a big poster by AIG. What's AIG? Is that some sort of financial company or something? Insurance company. Okay. And the poster is a massive photograph of the Sam McCarthy, the Sam Maguire. Cut. I always mix up my Liam McCarthy and Sam Maguire. It's Sam Maguire. That's what I was thinking of. Here. And it says, "This is Sam. Sam stays in Dublin. Be like Sam." Good ad. Just telling us to stay in Dublin and stop. Do you know who's not staying anywhere? The swallows. What? Yes. Swallows exist. Unlike puffins, swallows are actually a thing. And John McAvoy tweeted that there is a noticeable silence in the air this evening. This morning, at least 100 swallows were flying near the house and gathering on wires. This evening, not a single one. Today, they flew south. Farewell, summer friends. Hashtag autumn. I like autumn. It's nice. Elsewhere, Dun Stores is set to shake up the Irish grocery market in the run-up to Christmas with a move into online retailing. This story is peculiar for one reason, and that is because... Okay, so Dun's are going to start delivering stuff to the house. Great, everyone's doing it. Nothing massive about that necessarily. But the use of the expression dark store... What's a dark store? You'd expect Darth Vader with his trolley heading down going... But no, a dark store, the operation will centre on a so-called dark store, which is a dedicated fulfilment depot. People can't write normal English all the time, so they'll do their best. A fulfilment depot, whatever that means, and will have easy access to the M50, will allow Dun Stores to reach consumers in several counties quickly. But it's a dark store. But it sounds like extraordinary rendition or, you know, there's something very sort of CIA bloody about it. But dark stores are going to work and that's where it's going to be. We don't need to worry about them because we won't be in them because they're dark stores. They're not for bright people like us. They're dark over there in the corner with no lights on them. Dark stores. And Offaly Libraries tweeting, "Does your child have difficulty reading due to dyslexia or visual stress? If so, call into your nearest branch of Offaly Libraries to check out some of the very readable..." I'm self-editing here for them. "Very readable dyslexia-friendly Barrington Stoke because every child can be a reader." Well said, Offaly Libraries. Good work. Matthew O'Toole, he's ubiquitous and he's good at his job. The GP says he's getting loads of calls from parents of children that have tested not detected / negative for COVID and returned to school. They can go back to school 48 hours after their symptoms have resolved. Not 48 hours after the test. This is important to limit the spread of the virus, of other viruses. Good point. 48 hours after the symptoms. The snots start falling down the nose. The temperature's gone. That's got to be gone. Everything disappears. And then back to normal. God, the news was complicated last night. There was experts giving evidence to some committee in the Dáil. And one person was saying, "Herd immunity, everybody." And then just when you think, okay, let's go for that. Zero cases. And then somebody else comes on and goes, "It's a terrible idea. I think you should all..." And you're like, "Which one? Which one? I don't know which experts to believe. I don't know. I'm just going to watch Only Connect. I don't understand. Why is all these smart people with doctors and degrees and glasses and beards and all telling me different things? I don't understand. Could we have a single message, please? Please." I was buying sweets for the ungrateful team that I work with yesterday morning, and I was saying... And I brought in the box of chocolates and I said, "Lads, I'm bringing this by way of thanking myself, but I'll shield it by saying they're for you as well." And I decided I bought a packet, a little box of assorted lint. I said, "I'll go with that." But beside them on the sweet section was looking at me going, "Go on, try these." I go, "Nah, I don't think they like you." "No, go on. It's a bag of licorice, right? Licorice." And I thought, like, you couldn't bring licorice into the... That's, So I was having a bit of a... But I had a few little licorice toffees over the summer and they were quite delicious. No, they were. And I knew I'm shaking heads out here like I've just released a stink bomb into the studio. But licorice all sorts, maybe. But just licorice themselves. Why am I talking about licorice? I'm not anti-licorice. I quite like it. But a guy in Massachusetts, right? He consumed a bag and a half of licorice every day for 2 weeks. Just, obviously the poor fellow's deranged, whatever. And he was at the licorice every day, morning. Imagine his tongue, whatever about his insides. And every little amount of licorice can increase your blood pressure a little bit, apparently. A cardiologist was saying this. And this poor fella died. He was basically murdered by licorice. He would eat a bag and a half a day, and well, mind you, it does say he was found collapsed inside a fast food restaurant. I suspect his diet, wasn't great broadly speaking, but yeah, he discovered he had dangerously low potassium, which had led to little heart rhythm problems, other problems, and the doctors just said all candy, as they say in America, should be enjoyed in moderation. So steady on the licorice, lads. You never know. Xboxes. This is a big story for people who are into gaming. The demand for video game systems is off the charts, but ordering the new consoles has been a difficult experience for a lot of gamers because the next-gen video game console, Xbox Series X, is available for pre-order. Now, I might as well be speaking Russian here, right? But I'm going to just read it because I know a lot of you speak Xbox, okay? I don't even speak Pidgin Xbox, but I'm going to read it like I know what I'm talking about. This has helped me a lot in my life. I'm going to do it again now here. Okay, let's go back to the story. The next-gen video game console Xbox Series X is available for pre-order on Tuesday alongside the cheaper and smaller Xbox Series S. Are we all? Both will be released on November the 10th. The Series X costs $500. The smaller one, which is less powerful in terms of technical specifications, don't you know, which you do, it costs $299. Xbox describes the Series S in an email as smaller than a cereal box. As I say, it means nothing to me, but I do know that a lot of people, that means a lot to a lot of people in terms of cost, expense, but also, critically, scarcity. It's going to be a problem. But I've been saying this since June. Get the orders in for all these sorts of things, because otherwise you could be left a little on the empty-handed side. There is a brilliant resource, if you're interested in history, very quick one, the Dictionary of Irish Biography. Treat yourself. Go online and find the Dictionary of Irish Biography. It was an enormous resource for me once when I was writing a book ages and ages and ages ago. But head to, where would you find it? RIA.ie or Dictionary of Irish Biography. Tap it in, you'll find it. And any Irish person of particular note or sometimes not of note is there with a little fun-sized biography of them. And it's fascinating just to spend a little time perusing that. You can't go wrong. And they tweeted to say, we've created a resource for Leaving Cert students comprised of 40 biographies of major Irish figures from Daniel O'Connell to Seamus Heaney. So find out more and download the PDF, etc. And head to that site and you'll get it. And our old friend, great historian Donal Fallon, tweeted that there are some great ideas for Leaving Cert special subjects. Archbishop Daniel Mannix, endlessly fascinating in particular, and Larkin and more, DIB, that's the Dictionary of Irish Biography Entry, the Bureau of Military History, and Irish Newspaper Archives, free via libraries, will give you heaps of primary resources. If you want to get a good insight into accessible history, follow Donal Fallon immediately, at Fallon_Donal, because he gets history in a way few others do, and he allows us all have a look in the window. I like him a lot. 51551, Morris was on. The poor man. We can't do that, can we? The poor man with the licorice. Morris, it's a bit early for. Well, look, that poor man who died after all the licorice. It takes all sorts. The swallows might be leaving, says the text, but the Brent geese have arrived on Bull Island. All is normal at least in the natural world. Indeed, Jacinta. We just need to get people to stop believing the puffins exist and then everything will be right. We'll have the equilibrium back again. You cannot say you prefer the rain to the sun and not expand on this, says John. Oh God, don't ask me for a big meteorological existential explanation for a passing comment, but if I have to, I'll simply say that I like the sun when it shines. It's very beautiful. But I can adapt to when the rain falls. And I find there's very few things more beautiful than the sound of rain, particularly on a window. And if I'm reading in bed or if I'm sitting in a living room, I'd nearly turn off the TV to hear the rain. I think it's a beautiful sound sent from the heavens. That's it. Sun can make me warm on my face, make me feel good, sure. But the rain brings another kind of happiness. That's as simple as that. 51551. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning. It's a beautiful sunny morning here in Ballyliffin, Donegal. Okay. Rubbing our sunburnt noses in it. I've just enjoyed a lovely walk on Pollen Beach. I've never heard of Pollen Beach, but I hope it's lovely. This is one of a number of texts from Donegal people delighted with themselves and the weather. Good. I'm glad you're all texting in with your weather because we don't begrudge it. Strangely, we're not a show that does begrudging on air. 51551 is the text number. The weather is not so nice when the wind is trying to move your roof across the road and back. That's just in from Dorothy Gale, I suspect. Shall we take some music? I'm going to go with an unusual choice of music today. It's Irish. They're very popular among a certain constituency. They might drive some of you mad and some of you might think, yeah, I love this. To me, they feel a bit like The Who meets The Pogues meets Blur Park Life. I'm going to play some music now from Fontaine's DC. Yeah, you see, I love that. That's Fontaine's DC. That sounds just lovely and very Irish and Dublin-y and different. And like I say, The Who and The Pogues and Park Life, it's all in there. 51551, by the way, that song's called Boys in the Better Land, in case you missed that. I'm with you on the licorice, says the text. I don't eat like your American friend did, but I love really good licorice. It's so hard to get the real stuff. Like when I was a kid, most of it today is just licorice-flavoured, chewy sugar and gelatine. Okay. Meanwhile, Pat Blade had been on to say, when I was nursing years ago, licorice used to be prescribed for patients with stomach ulcers as it would line the stomach. Well, now, there are drinkers who will take that on board for different reasons. Alan says, thanks, Ryan, Fontaine's DC, to start the day. Way to go. My day is complete. And it's only 9:27. That's, or what is it, 9:23 even. Nearly robbed you of 4 minutes. Regarding the rain, says the text, I'm in a mobile home here in Kilmuckridge, County Wexford. Last night's rain on the mobile was therapeutic. So calming. I loved it. It's a fab morning here now. You're getting the best of all worlds. Good on you. You're singing my song. Although this isn't my music necessarily, says John, I absolutely love Fontaine's DC. Their track, Life Ain't Always Easy, would be a good play for these times. Thanks, John. I'll keep them in mind that we have new friends now, so I'll play them again. Thanks, Ryan. Love the Fontaines. Reminds me of going to gigs in the underground as a teenager. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Got a massive response also to Dara Carroll. Do you remember Dara, if you heard us yesterday? If you didn't, listen, worth listening back with The Flame of Fertility, bringing it around Ireland. It was a great story. Young fella just following his nose and having great adventure. Reminded me of Bear Grylls and Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall and all these people who just loved the land, but really Irish. Impressive love of, he was a free spirit. Nice, liked him a lot. And Noel Campbell Sharp of the Kilrillig project in County Kerry got in touch yesterday very decently. She heard Dara and offered him a rent-free residency award at their restored pre-famine village on Bullis Head to write his book, if he were to ever write one. What a nice thing to offer. But a great, nice, I presume that's a pretty wild spot. I must get down and visit it someday, but thanks, Noel, for that. We pass all the details on to Derek. Anne said, what a great guy. He's a tonic. I feel like the child I was when I first read Arabian Nights, such tales. It was wonderful to hear in these fearful times. Keep safe and keep dreaming, young man. Well said, Anne. Eric was on to say, Eric Dumas, there's a tradition in France kept since the Middle Ages of learning traditional crafts by travelling the country and learning from masters. And these companions, as they are called, became masters themselves, maintaining the tradition. And your guest reminded me of this. Yeah, there was something, there was a bit of the Ulysses, wasn't there, on his Odyssey, touring around the waters of Norway and Scotland and Ireland and not really worrying. He didn't mention a phone once. He didn't mention technology once. He didn't mention COVID once. He was just getting on with life in its pure form as humanly possible and philosophically sound and existentially content. That is not, is it something we would all aspire to achieve? And that seems to be where he's at 26. Read them and weep. That's what I'm looking at his cards, reading them and weeping. Good morning, Ryan and team. Oh, and team. I was just listening to your show. I mean, I give them an awful time. And I would love to invite Dara Carroll to come and stay at Ballinwillen House Farm. Sounds great. We'd appreciate if you'd extend the empty course, we will. From Patrick, the mindful farmer in Mitchelstown in County Cork. Patrick Mulcahy, okay. He owns the only combined organic farmed venison, wild boar and goat farm in Ireland and the UK. Thank you for all those lovely comments, and we pass them all on to Dara, and appreciate them very much. Now, on the fake puffin thing, I have seen loads of puffins. You'd think you have. You see, this is what the problem is. You might have seen pictures of them because they were created probably by Hans Christian Andersen or someone like that. And you probably saw Quentin Blake's illustrations of them, but they're only make-believe. But come on, I'll read your text anyway. I only caught the last minute of your show yesterday and I heard you say they don't exist. Yeah, I was just stating the facts. Well, I have seen them while whale watching off the coast of Newfoundland, and they are the native bird of Newfoundland. Well, that's what you say. I believe you up to the point of the whales, but you're probably mixing the puffins. You probably saw toucans. They exist. And they might have been in and around that area. But the puffins, as you know, even their name is cute. It was created, I think the puffin was created by the publishing house. And they came up with this kind of fake bird to be the logo. And it worked for them. Because people then thought, God, imagine if puffins actually existed. Which is nice. It's nice to believe in these things. If you like Fontaine's DC, check out the band Odd Morris. Wonderful lyrics. I will. I'm going to write it down. Always interested to hear new music. And the more Irish, the better. 9:28. Listen, lads, if you're feeling a little anxious about what's happening in the world today and you're just feeling a little bit concerned, and if your nerves are essentially gone and you feel that it's all a bit big and a bit much, we're going to talk to a great guy, Dr. Keith Gaynor, after the break. And I was reading all about what he's going to talk to us about this morning, and he's going to shine a little bit of light. If you need a little glow in your day, need a little hug, tune in, stay tuned, because we'll bring you to a good place after this. Yeah, I just mentioned Kilrillig there, and somebody was texting in to say, Mia was texting in to say that as an artist, I was lucky enough to have had three residencies there, and it's bliss. So well done to Noel for all you do for artists. Yeah, hear, hear, well said.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Text says, Ryan, I also have never seen a puffin, so thanks to you, I am now awakening as a puffin denier. Welcome. I'm kind of like tea and on, you know? I mean, it's just a whole new movement. Anyway, she says, can we organise a march? Yes, yes we can. We need to call out this fake puffin media hoax that is misleading people. But I don't know. I don't understand how they don't believe. I mean, it's very obvious. A plush toy is not a real thing. Okay. I'm getting puffin anxiety now. And breathe.
Darling, you.
Just delicious. That's Sam Cooke, and you send me at 2 minutes to 10. Wunderbar. Okay, room for one last text from a believer, a puffin believer, strangely, a nut job probably. Angela says, I also saw puffins while whale watching in Newfoundland near St. John's. Ah, you didn't. And they are known as potatoes with wings. Do you know what, Angela? If you told me you saw a potato with wings, I would have believed you before you saw a plush toy in the sky. Okay, that's where we're going to leave it for today. It's 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for Claire Byrne. And we'll talk
to Ryan Tuberty.
Steady now. I haven't quite finished talking. My fault, incidentally. Yes, a bit hasty. But the point I'm trying to make is we're gone now. And Claire is coming on. And we'll talk to you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Have a beautiful day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.